Genesis 45, 3-11 and 15. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me," and they came closer. He said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for your many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children, and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.' And yet he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." This is the Lord, the word of the Lord.
Lord God, indeed, in your light, we see light. And in your life, we have life. So thank you for your word that is alive today, that speaks to us so beautifully and so directly. And I pray that as we await your message, our hearts and our minds will be open to receive the message you have for us today. Bless us now, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Joseph said, "You have not sent me here. God has sent me here." So in 2014, and maybe some of you can remember this, a plane was flying from Malaysia to Beijing, and then it just disappeared. And it's been dubbed the biggest mystery in modern aviation, Malaysia Airlines Flight MH370. With 227 passengers and 12 crew members on board. And so during 2015 and 2016, some debris from the aircraft washed ashore in the Western Indian Ocean, but the rest of the plane has not been found. Despite searches of many thousands of square miles of ocean, what they did find during the search for MH370, however, are 2 ships lying on the ocean floor, one wooden and one iron, and both vanished 140 years ago. The wrecks are located about 22 miles apart, about 1,400 miles off the coast of Western Australia. And the identities of the vessels have been narrowed to 1 of 2 in the case of the wooden ship and 1 of 3 in the case of the iron one, because records from that era are incomplete. Researchers may not be able to make a precise identification until the vessels can be further explored up close, an undertaking that would need to be privately funded. But in any case, the wooden ship is either the brig W. Gordon, which disappeared in 1877. It was on its way from Scotland to Australia. Or the bark Magdala, which sank in 1882. And it was en route from Wales to Indonesia. Experts say that the ships most likely sank after a coal explosion, something that could have happened when ships were transporting coal in those days. And the iron ship may be any one of three candidates, but the best match is the West Ridge. It disappeared in 1883 while sailing from Liverpool to Mumbai. And both ships would have had crews of 15 to 30 people and may have had passengers as well. Now, I don't think the discovery of these ships is of any comfort to the families of those who were aboard Flight MH370. I guess you can just call them incidental findings to the main search. They weren't looking to find the ships. They were trying to find the missing airplane. But it's one of those things that remind us that sometimes we find unexpected things while we're looking for something else. Some of these incidental findings might be bad news. Others turn out to be unanticipated discoveries that change our lives in positive ways. And something similar happened in our scripture passage from Genesis. The sons of Jacob came to Egypt and they were looking for food for their families. There was a great famine and they were desperate for food. And then what happened? They learned that the official in charge of Egypt's food supplies was none other than their brother, Joseph, the one they sold to traders a few years before that out of jealousy. Now they discover that he's alive and he's in charge in Egypt. That discovery is incidental to their quest for food. But thanks to Joseph's goodness, it brings them unexpected grace and mercy and reconciliation, as well as a more permanent solution for surviving the famine. Let me give you another example from Scripture. Jesus says in Matthew, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field." What Jesus is saying is through this parable is that discovery plays a role in the life of faith. You can discover the kingdom of God now, even accidentally. Because this guy is just walking through the field and then just by coincidence, he finds a treasure. I mean, he wasn't searching for this treasure. It's incidental. And then, encouraged and driven by this unexpected discovery, he hurries to acquire legal ownership of the field. He sells everything, everything he owns, to raise the money that is needed to buy that field so that he can keep the treasure. He makes a great investment to get it. He sells all that he has to get this land. And Jesus says that's how valuable the kingdom of heaven is. That is the kind of value God's kingdom has for our lives. It's worth the investment of all we possess. It's so valuable to belong to this kingdom that we should give everything to have it. And in the same chapter, Jesus tells another parable in which he says, "Also, the kingdom of heaven is like a man looking for fine pearls. And when he found a very valuable pearl, he went and sold everything he had and he bought it. This is different from the incidental discovery by the guy in the field, because in this case, the discovery of this valuable pearl is not accidental. This guy has been diligently searching for fine pearls. But then he finds one that is of greater value than any he expected to discover. And when he finds it, he knows immediately that it is of such value that it is worth selling everything else he owns to acquire it. So you see, some of us, in our search for meaning, maybe like the guy who was searching for a pearl, you're actively looking, right? Looking for something of value in your life. And so when you're presented with the gospel and how Jesus loves you and how he forgives you and saves your soul, you may realize it is worth surrendering all you have so you can become part of God's kingdom. Others of us might be looking for something else, but in the process, we discover God's kingdom and we become a part of it. So what I'm saying is that discovery plays a role in the life of faith. Seeking and discovering. In Jeremiah, God said, "When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me." God says, "I will let you find me." That means that some of us weren't maybe looking for God, but we found him by stumbling over something that God placed in our way. Or in other words, God let us find him. Those of you with kids, I mean, can you remember when they were small and you played hide and seek with them? Well, some of you have young kids now and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But so you close your eyes, right? And you count to 10 while the kids are hiding themselves. And then you open your eyes and you say, "Ready or not, here I come." And you start looking for them. But the thing with young children who play hide and seek is that they can't stay hidden, okay? They don't want to stay hidden. They would pop up in plain view and yell, "I'm here, I'm over here." I don't know if you remember that. They want to be found. And God is like that. God may seem to hide from us sometimes, but God cannot stay hidden. God wants us to find him. God loves us so much that he wants us to discover his love. And when you see God with all your heart, God says, "I will let you find me." That's how awesome God is. It's like God is jumping up and down trying to get our attention. "I'm here, I'm here." So maybe you started coming to church because you wanted to make your spouse happy. Or you came because, you know, you believe it's good for your children to be here. And then God made himself known to you personally, and you discovered his love and grace and his forgiveness. And now you have a deep desire to meet with God and to worship him and to learn more about him. Or maybe you came because you were in need of socialization. And what you've discovered is this fellowship of God's love that just kind of like draws you back. A fellowship that is spiritual in nature and fills not just your need for socialization, but your need to belong to God's kingdom and to his family and to his church. And so I want you to know that as you move on through life's journey, you're going to make some incidental discoveries. There will be incidental findings, but they are not accidental. Okay? I can guarantee you that. With God, there are no accidents. You're not here today by accident. You didn't join our live stream today by accident. You're here for a reason. And somehow, God brought you here. So you should expect the unexpected on your way to doing what is expected. And God, according to what theologians call his prevenient grace, will be jumping all around us shouting, "I'm here. I'm here. I want you to find me." Because you see, God has placed things in our life. And he's placed things in our makeup, in the way he created us, that mean we have a need to seek. Prevenient is just a, you know, a big theological word that means coming before. It refers to a form of God's grace, his grace coming before. Prevenient grace is in operation even before we recognize a need to seek God. Because God's grace is at work in your life long before you even realized it. It is a seed planted in us that helps us know that the life we know and the life we see is not the whole story. And what that seed in us does is it sets us on a search for something beyond what we can see. And it compels us to look for that which is higher than ourselves. And so whether you're actively looking for a solid spiritual place to stand or whether you stumble over it is as an incidental discovery, please don't assume that it's all up to you. Because God is at work to make your discovery of the divine possible. M. Scott Peck, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but he was the author of The Road Less Traveled. And he has died in the meantime, but in his writings he touches on this kind of experience. He didn't grow up in church, but he gradually became aware of the activity of God. And eventually, he became a Christian. And in this book, he told that some of his patients survived or had survived serious emotional traumas much better than the circumstances warranted. And he was curious about that. And so he came to think of a force of goodness in the world, and he eventually identified this force using the word serendipity. Serendipity. Now, the dictionary defines serendipity as the gift of finding valuable or agreeable things not sought for. It's like the incidental discoveries we've been talking about. And he also realized that the word grace fit that definition too. And so in the book he wrote about this force, you know, using both the word serendipity and grace. And he tells the story of how he many years later was on a flight to Minneapolis. And he wanted to use the flying time to do some writing. And so when a man took the seat next to him, Beck stayed buried in his work, you know, like some of us do when we don't want to talk to someone on the plane. And the man beside him opened up a novel. And so they flew side by side to Buffalo without speaking. And in Buffalo, they had an hour-long layover, and this also passed without them speaking to each other. And after reboarding the plane and flying silently side by side for another 45 minutes or so, the man looked up from his novel and said, you know, I hate to bother you, but you don't happen, you know, by any chance to know the meaning of the word serendipity, do you? And so Peck answered that as far as he knew, he was the only person who'd written a substantial portion of a book on the subject. And that it was perhaps serendipity that at the precise moment the man wanted to know the meaning of the word, he happened to be sitting next to an authority on the subject. And so this led to further conversation, and Peck explained to the man that his book was kind of an integration of psychology and religion. And the man said, well, you know, I don't know about religion anymore. And he went on to tell Peck that he was thinking of leaving the church. And in response, Peck told him that questioning sometimes helps, you know, individuals move from the hand-me-down religion of childhood to a more mature, personal one. And when the two landed in Minneapolis, the man said, you know, I don't have the foggiest idea what all of this means, but maybe I don't have to leave the church after all. And so what that man learned from Peck was an incidental finding. But the power of God made it an important one. And maybe you're here this morning or you're online today, there is something you believe to be critical for your own well-being, and you're looking for it. What I want to say to you is don't give up the search, okay? But also, don't be surprised if while you're looking for an answer, you find something that turns your search on its head and sends you in a whole different and new direction. The direction of God's kingdom, because God sometimes works with us that way. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, I know that none of us are here by accident today, because I know and I truly believe that nothing is an accident, but it is all from your hand. And so I pray, God, that as we are gathered here and reflect on your word, that we may discover what you want us to discover, whatever it is that will lead us into the kingdom of God or make our faith stronger as we belong to your kingdom already. Thank you for leading us to you, for helping us to find you, for wanting us to find you and your love and your grace and your forgiveness. It's not by chance. And we praise you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen.